Yeah, so thanks everyone for joining. So this is the first time we're doing a really Bitcoin talk. This is a new format. We are experimenting a little bit with Twitter Spaces. So thanks everyone for taking your time. And yeah, I think the title is pretty much self-explanatory. So we're talking about the crypto apocalypse and what's next for crypto and Bitcoin in general. So yeah, who wants to start with his or her opinion?
The beatings will continue until self-custody improves. I think that just says it all.
I think so too. I think I tweeted about it earlier today that I think where this is leading, and probably this is not the only company, there will be more coming because it's just all a giant house of cards. But slowly and surely people are realizing that the only way to move forward is to really actually take advantage of all the properties that Bitcoin offers. Because it's quite ironic that there's Bitcoin is sort of a technology that removes trust from the equation, but the ecosystem built around it, or most of these companies in the crypto space, all ask you to trust them. They have all the licenses. You know, they're regulated really well. You should super, super trust them. And we're seeing one after the other that it's that they're just not good enough. And trust is not something that will be part of the future of finance.
Yeah, I think it's really a mix of like bad company policies, like Silicon Valley mindset, move fast and break things. Pretty much fraud as well. So people throwing money at new startups that really don't even have an HR department or anything like that, combined with this startup's ability to print their own money and fool people into believing that this is actually valuable. I think this is something that is really toxic overall. And having a focus on Bitcoin and self-custody, I think, totally removes that out of this equation.
So now we have Julian as a speaker. Hi, Julian.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Julian.
Hi. Hey, Roland, how are you?
Pretty good.
It only took me 9 minutes to find out that you can only join the spaces with a phone.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess it's your first one.
I think it's my...
I thought that might be the problem, but I was like, no, surely she knows.
Oh, no, no, but... I don't know shit. I chatted with Lena before and she was afraid that she's the only beginner. I'm like, no, I'm the total noob when it comes to spaces. I did one, you know, you remember Giulielmo, you invited me to this Italian one. There were like 100 furious Italians in there, like Bitcoin maxi toximalists. And then I'm joining, like I'm in a train back home from work in the evening, and I'm joining with the phone, and the connection was like horrible, but it was super fun. But then I was on the phone naturally. Now I wanted to be prepared. I set up my mic and my laptop and everything, but it just didn't work. Now I'm here. Glad to be here.
Hi, Julian.
Don't feel bad. I actually remembered 5 minutes before 8 that I need to reinstall Twitter on my phone. I always deinstall it to keep myself sane.
Yeah, you were hard to...
You're read. An awful lot on Twitter for having it deinstalled.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it would be even worse if I didn't have to go to the computer every time.
So does that mean that you're spending more time on the computer then?
Maybe. I guess that's pretty off topic here.
What yeah, is definitely.
Good question.
So where do we put our coins now? Do we put them on crypto.com? Do we put them on in the Grayscale Trust? Who's safe these days?
I'm waiting for people to answer the question in the title.
Who's next?
Who's next?
We should take bets on who's going down next.
I guess we Swiss Relay are just too nice to call out
people. I think just Relay has been rumors. Gambling with user funds.
I hear you have zero reserves.
Absolutely.
We are broke. We're pretty much broke.
We should actually do a proof of reserve by like an audit firm, you know? It would be super expensive, but it would be fun that, oh, so the proof of reserve has been negative. There's no reserve. So I was wondering... Sorry, Staticus, like the Bitbox folks, are you experiencing a run on your... Because I've been asked this today by a journalist from BTC Echo, whether we are experiencing a run. And we do, like, because all of a sudden, when FTX fails and Genesis and Celsius and BlockFi and all of these players that we're now talking about, they all of a sudden everyone kind of remembers or recognizes that Bitcoin only, no shitcoins, non-custodial, not your keys, not your coins, and Swiss regulation. Instead of Bahama regulation, is probably something that is super important. It's something that we have in common. So I was wondering, are you kind of sold out of all the Bitboxes now? Or are you kind of getting crazy?
So we're not sold out. No, you can still order a Bitbox. We actually have seen quite a big spike in sales, and so have other manufacturers. What's really interesting and what I didn't realize really is that we also had a spike in support questions, which predated the deliveries of the new Bitboxes, which means that now that all these exchanges go insolvent, people remember, oh, wait, like half a year ago, I bought a Bitbox and now I finally have to use it. And then they come with their questions. And yeah, I think it's actually a very good trend that more people buy a hardware wallets now. And I think many people need to burn their hands or like almost burn their hands to actually know what a benefit a hardware wallet brings.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the first Bitbox came out about 2015. And since then, we've been hammering the not your keys, not your coins message. But people, I don't know, the reach is still limited, right? There are so many new people coming into the space, you cannot reach them all, and especially you cannot force them to start as you see fit. So people make mistakes, but I think every time something like Celsius or FTX happens, we see huge spikes in sales because people really, this is something so tangible that it's like it's exactly why we built the Bitbox, right? This cannot happen if you hold your own keys. And this makes it super clear. The message cannot be clearer. It's almost, it's not as cuddly as the little hodler, but I think Lina makes a great point in taking complex messages and putting them like very succinct into like a very fun and lovable story, but there's always something really important in there. And for us, sadly, it's more these really catastrophic events that hammer home the point that you really need to hold your own keys.
Yeah, and it's also super hard to convince people to hold their own keys if they are new in the space. If they have been in the space for maybe a year now and they haven't seen a big exchange get hacked or lose customer funds or like fraudulently give them away to their other subsidiaries, they just think, oh, I'm not that good at custodying and nothing will happen. These are big companies. Everyone uses them, etc. So you can't really fault these people, but yeah, good education really is king here. And the longer people stay in the space, the more they realize why it's really important. And this experience just comes from, well, experiencing these things.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what people used to, right? They were used to, until Bitcoin was invented, they were used to giving other institutions, third parties, banks, exchanges, whatever, their money to hold, because there was no concept of holding its own money. Maybe you had some cash, some physical cash in your wallet, but like the majority of your funds, and especially all of your digital funds, were always with an institution, right? So there was no concept of self-custody in the digital world of funds until Bitcoin came to existence. And now, obviously, many people are finding it out, but we're still at like 10% of the world's population that actually found that there's a way of self-custody. And those who found out, obviously, they're still stuck in the old kind of methods where, okay, I need to find someone here to hold my coins, right, to hold my funds. So they are now only, and this is actually why, this is actually a point, it's actually good that is these events are happening, all these collapses, because they create more Bitcoiners, right? This is exactly what we're experiencing now at Relay, what you guys are experiencing at BigBox, that the true principles of Bitcoin only, you know, non-custodial, take responsibility, not your keys, not your coins, all that kind of stuff. These principles now are, as you said, hammered into people, and people learn. You need to burn your fingers to learn that fire is hot, you know, and that's, I think, exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And being responsible for to keep your own wealth secure really is it's not a new concept, but with Bitcoin it never has been easier than with Bitcoin. In the past, if you wanted to hold like significant amounts of money, of course you can hold cash, but that's only goes so long. So you basically held gold, right, for like long-term storage, but you need to have like a secure physical space and all that stuff. It's not really transportable, all that things. But even with that, even if you hold it at a bank, people still just buy gold in an ETF. And we know that there is 8 times more paper gold in ETFs than there is physical gold on Earth. So there's really, even with gold, with a physical scarce good, there's fractional reserve banking going on. And for Bitcoin, I really see that this is also a danger. And if exchanges like FTX fall, it's really, these are really, really bad events. I agree that it's good overall for the space, but individual people are hurt real bad, and you see suicide notes on Reddit and stuff like that. That's really, really bad. In the end, maybe it can help prevent bigger stuff like Bitcoin becoming just something totally inflated, where 21 million doesn't mean anything anymore because everything is held on exchanges with fractional reserve banking. So in that sense, I think it can be a force for good.
Yeah, I mean, if you would tell somebody that they should hold all of their cash at home underneath their mattresses, they would think you're crazy. And this whole concept of like holding your own money is just really new, as you said.
Yeah, with Bitcoin, it's actually possible, even distributed in multiple locations, or maybe even with exchanges and proof of reserves. But of course, also that is very limited concept. Julian, how was it for you? Did you see people like panic buying a lot lately?
Yeah, I don't know. Panic buying, like people have definitely bought more, but that's just probably because of the price decline, not necessarily because FTX went down. It's just more that as a result of FTX blowing up, the price went down, and so people buy more. It's always every price drop is always resulting in more buys. But what definitely happened is that we had massive amounts of app downloads, like new users joining in, because most likely that users that were using FTX or other exchanges like crypto.com or other like exchanges that now are in critique, to save their Bitcoin, they now withdrew them from the exchange and they were looking for a non-custodial wallet to hold them, and also then to buy directly, like 24/7 instantly and directly into self-custody. And that's where how they find out about us. So this month looks already now looks like a record month in terms of app downloads at Relay. And it's not due to like huge marketing budget. Like Emo can tell you how much marketing budget, not that much. So it's really organically, basically people fleeing from exchanges and looking for alternatives, non-custodial ways to buy Bitcoin, and that's where they found us. So it's interesting points you mentioned before as well, that you know people are now really going away and looking for alternatives, but people got hurt, and you're right, they did get hurt, and it's not good on the short run. We need credible players as well, because just not everyone is used to do self-custodying, but it's, you know, it has good and bad sides. I mean, yesterday I listened to this one podcast, and they mentioned that FTX actually had like dozens of investments, I think close to 100 investments, seed investments in companies and like crypto companies or fintech companies or whatever. And they forced them, the companies, they forced them to hold all of their assets on FTX, right? So
and yeah, that's just mind-boggling.
This is mind-boggling. All the consequences that arise from that, like just to force not only people but companies to hold their assets, and these companies all have employees, so in the end, it's all people, right? So that's why millions of people, way more than we now think, are affected, not only directly but indirectly. Just from having assets, having a custodian looking after your assets and it not being secure. So again, just to make the point that self-custody is super important.
Somehow I have the feeling that none of these companies were Bitcoin companies that they invested in.
Oh, I don't think so.
I think they didn't help. They didn't hold a single Bitcoin on their balance sheet, and there was not a single investment in a Bitcoin company. I actually looked at that.
I would put more blame on a corporate entity agreeing to holding all their funds on an exchange / using them as a custodian for not doing proper due diligence in that regard than I would put on an individual using an exchange. Because let's say if you compare the space, this bull market / the recent bear market to even the last one, 2017, around that time, the crazy ICO hype when like the first wave of retail came in, and even further back at that time, by default, you would not trust an exchange. Maybe 2017, 18, it shifted, but you had all these really shady platforms and tiny exchanges that just suddenly popped up that as a user, you wouldn't trust them. But what happened in the last bull run is you had MicroStrategy coming in, and then you had Wall Street coming in. Then you had all these big, reputable, more or less, investors and funds and nation states starting to talk about Bitcoin, giving it more, more quote-unquote credibility. And then you had platforms leveraging that. You know, and then you have exchanges. Even FTX had its US subsidiary, which makes it look much more legitimate. So if as a new user you're coming in and you're looking for an easy way to buy Bitcoin, I can't really fault anyone for trusting these platforms in that sense, especially if you're new to the space. But a company, yeah. Because as a company, you have a bunch of responsibility you're holding. You have way more responsibility in where you put your assets. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But like the lack of due diligence that is happening everywhere, not only in this case, but I totally agree with you. Like these dozens of companies that just got forced or let them be forced to hold their assets with FTX without doing proper due diligence is crazy, and it's their responsibility. But like the Sequoia Capital, one of the leading, if not the leading venture capitalist in the world, invested $150 million of investor funds into FTX, literally without doing any due diligence. Like they had one call. The partners had one call with Sam, where he told them that he will sell bananas on the blockchain, stuff like
what?
Legit bullshit. And
this is how you raise money, right?
Yeah, no, I would raise more if I would do it like that. I need to study Sam's playbook.
Well, don't you have people asking you to make a token? Like, don't you have a bunch of people? Isn't that like people ask you to make a token because then for a VC, without wanting to generalize, but a lot of them, they were out for the quick profit, right? So for them, it's more profitable if you have a token.
Yeah, absolutely. They would love that. I would raise more money if I would sell a token, for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just that there's no real due diligence being made out there. How many VCs or big companies have invested in Celsius or BlockFi, and like, these are billion-dollar companies. These guys did not do any due diligence, because if they would have found out. But especially in hype market environments, these guys just throw around with checks without doing due diligence, because they're driven by FOMO. They just have FOMO and they just want to be in there. They see this massive growth of FTX. They don't even care how the sausage is made. They don't want to know what's happening in this black box. All they see is it's growing fast. They want to be part of it.
I mean, at one point, everybody is going to assume that everybody else did the due diligence, right? So at some point, it's just a snowballing effect.
Yeah, I think at one point, it's just people looking at what other companies... It's like in the movies where an actor is considering a role and he looks like, oh, well, he's doing it, so I'll join this movie. And nobody reads the script. And it's the same here. They look at, oh, this company is there. I will join and I will put money into it. And then it's just sort of... becomes this giant, giant pyramid scheme.
Well, that's the bull market greed, right? I mean, that's, you see, again and again. Well, I have a question, though. Do you think this throws the industry back in, like, one way or another? I remember when the whole FTX thing started, I think it was Kevin O'Leary who said I'm just referencing, but I think he said in some interview, like, any of the corporate or Wall Street investors is not going to put money in, I think he said this thing, meaning crypto, until it's regulated. But then a couple of days later, he said he would invest in SBF again if he came to pitch to him again. So I'm wondering, do you think there is an effect of, you know, maybe less in, like, is it going to be harder to get investments because people have lost trust in the industry, because they see, oh, there's one. I mean, it's happening where people are saying, oh, Bitcoin's a scam because FTX died. You know, do you think that is affecting entrepreneurs in the space, or going to affect entrepreneurs going forward, or just, you know, players in the industry?
I guess it's probably going to be harder to raise dumb capital. But for, like, I'm not raising money, but I can just imagine that companies that want to raise money, they want to raise money from people who actually know what's going on and how the scene works. So I guess for companies that are usually doing Bitcoin business, I guess it could be a little bit harder just because of reputational damage. But overall, I don't think this has harmed the Bitcoin industry too much.
I would say... If you are already in the industry, or you have been considering to sort of joining it, it wouldn't harm that much. But definitely for the larger picture, outside of our little Bitcoin and cryptocurrency echo chamber, for sure. It has made, like, this FTX news has really made the headlines everywhere. It has hit the timelines of everyone. People that I didn't even know that they care, and they showed me over years that they don't care, suddenly were asking me about, you know, can you explain to me this FTX thing? Is your job okay? And all these sort of things. So I think what it does, or what it will do, is that it will speed up more aggressive regulation, which will harm the innovation, depending on in which countries we're talking about. And for sure, it was a setback for the outside world to trying to understand it. I would say that definitely that was not a good thing for us. But I also think that this is kind of necessary just to get rid of all the bad blood, so to speak, just to flush everything out. I would much rather just go through a proper harsh crypto and Bitcoin winter and maybe see some other companies fall, such as Binance, if it would mean that we just get rid of all this nonsense.
But this is also what I'm experiencing. So for me, it has never been more important to really stress the message that Bitcoin is not crypto and crypto is not Bitcoin. In the past, it was just like all this whole digital currency thingy, which is magic and nobody really understands. But now we really need to draw a line where there's something like everlasting, conservative, not greed-driven, or slightly greed-driven maybe, but not with insider trading and stuff like that. And something that is just like completely a balloon of hot air. And I think this is something that can cause harm to Bitcoin as well in terms of regulation. This is a very good point, Imo. But it can also really further the goals of Bitcoin in demonstrating how unique it is and make more people aware that there's no second best in this ecosystem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's different fights that Bitcoin has won and will need to win. So the recent one was blockchain, not Bitcoin, right? Do you remember that one? When all, like this was 2017-18, after the ICO bubble, when many banks and other big like corporates tried out their blockchain stuff and they employed teams of hundreds of people and invested billions in different blockchain, corporate blockchain, private proprietary blockchain, supply chain blockchain, like whatever projects. The only criteria seemed to be that it does not have anything to do with Bitcoin. Like everything, they liked everything about blockchain but Bitcoin. And they separate blockchain from Bitcoin, which is obviously nonsense. But they invested so much in that. And it looked for a while, like for the broad masses and for the media, it looked like Bitcoin is not the big invention. Bitcoin will go away, but it brought about blockchain, and blockchain will be the big innovation. Now, it took a couple of years, but not a couple of years later, now four or five years later, no one cares about blockchain anymore. But they see that Bitcoin is actually the innovation and cannot be separated from blockchain. Now, the next hype obviously was these 20K plus cryptocurrencies and this whole DeFi and NFT stuff that now seems to be, or it seemed to be until a couple of weeks, more important and bigger and more innovative than Bitcoin. And I think now in seeing all this apocalypse or collapses of these different crypto coins, tokens like Luna, for example, and also Celsius and FTX and all these providers, I think the broad masses now also come to realize that actually Bitcoin, not crypto, is like just this separation that you talked about, Staticus, that we need to separate Bitcoin from crypto as well. So blockchain did not replace Bitcoin, and also crypto will not replace Bitcoin. And this battle we are now about to win, and there will be a next battle and a next battle until at one point after maybe decades, Bitcoin will just still be there and it will have grown to this massive network where all the other stuff seem like small irrelevant experiments.
Yeah, I agree. I think regardless of what regulation will come into play, it will not stop Bitcoin, and Bitcoin will outlast regulation. So it's only a problem for I think people who are new in the space, because they would freak out, but for everyone else, it's not a problem.
This is also why I think you're doing such a great job in providing like a very easy app to buy Bitcoin. But from the start, it's non-custodial. I mean, this is how it should be, right? But Yoko can tell you like stories and stories, because he's much more involved in BitBox support. We are so early, and people new people coming newly to the Bitcoin space, it's really so many concepts they need to understand. Still, we're so early in terms of UX, in best practices, in security precautions. We try to make it really as easy as possible, but they're the most basic questions we see on support. And this is why I think ease of use, be it with Relay or Bitbox or whatever other project, of course, security is number one, but after that, I'd rather have a super simple product than having like the one with the most advanced Bitcoiner Moxie cypherpunk features, because it's so easy to shoot yourself in the foot still. And that in the end, that's really hurting people.
Yeah, I think there's a market for both, obviously. Like, of course, there's super hardcore maxis who want to have every single security feature and like just to play around, like batch channel, lightning opening, etc., blah, blah, blah. But the market for just beginners who just want a secure way to store their Bitcoin without custodians is just so huge, in my opinion. And we see a lot of hardware wallets who completely seem to forget about that part. Like, there's hardware wallets that ship without a guide, without a setup guide. And like, this is obviously nothing that a new user could use at all. So like, just giving the user, and this is what Static has already said, I think it's a really nice experience for users to start with self-custody and then buy Bitcoin. I know it's a big step to first buy a hardware wallet or to download a wallet and then buy Bitcoin, but I think this is actually the way that it should be in the future and that we should preach to more people. Even if it's like downloading a Blue wallet and then, or the Relay app is non-custodial by default as well. This is a great idea by you guys, by the way, that I really, really like. And this is something that we should do more of, I think, in the future and preach to people. Does anyone have any ideas how to make self-custody even easier?
We do. We have a few. But I think it also all comes down to what you mentioned a bit earlier about education. Initially, I was very much involved in the support when we launched with Julian. And as Roland mentioned, it's so clear that we are so early. I mean, there are some questions that you wouldn't think about and they just come over and over again. And we are maybe still quite advanced. I mean, most of the people here in this with us today are maybe much more advanced than most of the users we have. And it's not that easy. We just need to take this step back. And it's up to us to make this as easy as possible without also going to the extreme, because sometimes when it's too easy, it also doesn't work. So you really need to find the right balance. And I think that's why we are here. I mean, be Relay or Bitbox, what you guys are doing with the Bitbox, there is a lot of education that needs still to be done. I mean, with the things like what happened with FTX and all, it unfortunately helps to a lot of people to open their eyes, but it's not enough, because when they're looking for a solution, they also need something they can easily understand, and which is a challenge and a great one, I think. And that's why we are all here today.
You know, there's no lack of Bitcoin holidays, right? We always have something to tweet about. But one I like most, almost, is beginning of January. I think January 3rd, the
proof of keys.
Proof of keys, exactly. We always celebrate that, of course, because this is really coming back to what we do. And you do as well, guys. So just like basically a scheduled bank run every year. If everybody at that date would withdraw all their Bitcoin from their exchanges into self-custody, we wouldn't be here today talking about FTX. Of course, I mean, it's hard to rally people about something that many might not think is a problem, but maybe next January it could be a, get a bit more traction.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a long-term trend as well, that a lot of people are continuously more and more withdrawing their assets from exchanges to self-custody. I think we already saw this beginning of 2017, then the bull run, after the bull run 2018-19, more and more money flew away from exchanges to self-custody. And obviously, these events that we're now witnessing are accelerating that. And I think in the next decade or a couple of years, we will see more of that, don't you think? But still, at the same time, I saw the numbers of Coinbase the other day, and even after the crash, which was like crazy, if you look at the shitcoin world, it crashed like 80%, Bitcoin crashed like 60% or something this year. And even after these crashes, they still have more than 100 billion US dollars asset under management. So there's still so much cheddar lying around on these exchanges, but I still am positive that the trend is going towards non-custodial.
Coinbase alone holds over 2 million Bitcoin, by the way, which is insane.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a long journey ahead. If there's two things that I was thinking about while I was waiting for my turn. Is one is that people don't really understand money, and they don't really take it seriously. I think people outside of this niche of people who invest either in traditional assets or in Bitcoin, they just don't understand money well enough, and then they don't know how to. They don't take the time and the effort to understand something like self-custody. So this discussion becomes very difficult then, because if you want to, even if you provide them with a super simple product, even if you provide them with a great hardware wallet like the Bitbox one, they just don't take this aspect of their life really seriously, which is ironic because it's, you know, one of the most important, I mean, your whole life functions on money. But they just don't really take care enough, it's at least in my opinion. And then the other part is, like Julian said, as long as there are companies like Coinbase, and in Europe we also have companies similar to that, and you know, these are serious businesses. They're not compared to FTX, they're serious businesses. And as long as they're around, people will always prefer, in my opinion, those rather than something that requires some effort until they get burned. Until the next event like this FTX one happens in the future, then again, another wave of people will start paying attention, or they will leave and never come back. But I think this is a long journey. I think we still have a lot more of something like this to look forward to. And also a lot more people will continue not holding their own keys. They will continue trusting these companies because there's levels of trust, right? So FTX wasn't great because their CEO turned out to be a scammer. Oh, but this other company has, you know, this looks super serious. They have a really serious person in charge who has a great track record. We know that we can trust these people. So we're going to put money there. So until these kind of companies start also screwing up, I think this is just business as usual. Maybe I'm wrong, but in my opinion, this is still years and years of this to come.
So who is next, Imo?
I had a chat with Rafael a few months ago, and I said, we're not going to see the bottom until Michael Saylor gives up. So I'm not saying that he's going to be next, but it's quite ironic that you had 6 months ago or 12 months ago, you had FTX being the big heroes of the whole crypto space. They were basically pretty much saving the industry, were the headlines then. And that's how people were looking at it, who sort of looked at it just from the outside and on the surface. And now the same kind of headlines and the same kind of story is being told about Binance and CZ. And many people forget, but in like 2017, 2018, Binance was shady as fuck. Like the nobody really trusted Binance, and now suddenly they're like the great big company that is going to save and solve everything. I'm really skeptical, and I'm really curious of how this is going to end there as well. But I think eventually that is going to end. Like eventually they will end, and then we see just how bad things will get.
But do you think in at the end of it all, everybody will self-custody their Bitcoin? Because I don't think that. I think what's going to happen is you're going to have some exchanges essentially turn into banks. You know, there's going to be regulation, and that regulation is going to put more scrutiny on them in one way or another. So either exchanges are going to go under or turn into banks, or banks are going to take on additional, which you're seeing slowly, you're seeing it already, going to take on additional exchange functionality. So you're always going to have people who are not self-custodying. What I think is important, and I don't actually think an exchange is bad per se, because they do serve, obviously they serve the majority of the market, right? I like what you guys do much, much better, but it is not easy to get someone who's so used, which is everyone, to have an account with a password that you can simply reset if you forget it, which everybody does, to having a seed phrase that you're suddenly completely responsible for. It's very hard to make that switch, right? So what I think is actually important is that an exchange advocates for self-custody, to say, hey, you can use us, but don't store your money in your exchange account, which, you know, I don't know why, but most exchanges don't do that. Well, I know why some exchanges don't do it. But that is something that I think exchanges should be doing more of. And then essentially when it comes to self-custody, education is important, but education needs ready ears, let's say. It needs somebody to be open to being educated. Most people, again, and that's not like shaming anyone, but you're not immediately ready to be educated. Mass adoption usually happens because something's cool. So you make it look easy and you see your friends are doing it and your favorite celebrities are doing it and influencers are doing it and suddenly everyone's doing it. That's how Facebook got popular. That's how everything got popular. That's how iPhones got popular. And then you have, I don't know who it was, Drake or some.
Yeah, it was Drake.
Yeah. It was Drake, which is Diamond Ledger.
Of their ledger in this really fancy design, you know, that made it look I didn't like it, but I can see the appeal. Where then you go, oh, wow, that's really cool. How can I get that? And what's that? And that looks so sci-fi and whatnot. So that is, I think, an effective approach. Then the next step is make it really easy to onboard users that way, to have like a step-by-step. So for example, I love the cold card, right? But it is very complicated. Whereas other hardware wallets have a step-by-step, maybe have an app even that you can use. It makes it really easy for you to get started. Make the whole seed phrase, write down your seed phrase thing, look friendly and inviting rather than do this or your money's gone sort of vibe. So yeah. I think that is kind of a step towards, and education is important, definitely. I just think you need to get people ready for that.
I don't think that everybody will self-custody, but I think it's going to be an evolution of the exchanges. I also don't think that all exchanges are bad, but I think there still are some that are out there that are bad. But I think the evolution is going to be that there will be companies like Relay that allow you to buy Bitcoin and then it goes directly to your own wallet where you and no one else controls the keys. Or B, there's going to be exchanges and maybe other apps as well that will offer sort of a multi-sig wallet. So it's not just you. You can sort of divide this responsibility between some other people that you trust. And this also might be one of them, the company, the exchange itself. Like, we'll see. But I think these sort of two models will probably become more popular with companies as well. And eventually, I think we have been speaking about regulation that it's not going to be good, but I think there might be also in the future regulation that will encourage businesses to actually offer these type of services, or outright tell them that they will have to be offering these services. But let's see, that might be science fiction.
I mean, that would be good, right? I mean, one thing that is an interesting approach, I think. I know that Blockstream Green used to do this or still does it. I don't know.
They're still doing it.
Yeah, they have multisig, right? And they had slash have an option where if you lose, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's how it works. If you lose access to your funds, you can, if you prior to losing access, that's the important part, you need to set this in your wallet settings, that your funds become spendable after X days. Like, let's say after half a year, if your UTXOs haven't changed, that using your some kind of 2FA email, whatever, you can then recover your funds, which means even if you lost your seed phrase, you would be able to then access your funds after a certain time period, which is another, it adds another risk vector, but it is sort of like a last resort kind of backup option. But the risk there then is that if you forget to, like if you're a hodler and you forget to move your funds, suddenly they become spendable with your email and your 2FA or whatever. But it is another approach. But again, this is getting more technical already, and I think this is no way to onboard newbies.
But I think that you have a very good point, Lina, because in the past, there really was no way to avoid some sort of a custodian if you don't want to like take a lot of cash or gold with you. I do think banks have a very important purpose also in society. My beef personally is not with banks, it's more with central banks. And I fully agree that not everybody will self-custody their Bitcoin. I also don't think that's an absolute must. I think it just needs to be a significant amount and it needs to be easy. So people who want to do it should be able to do it. But there always will be people who just choose not to. And I think that's totally fine. But maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road, I also think most people will never actually touch the Bitcoin blockchain. Maybe in 10 years, we'll look back and tell each other like old war stories. You know, remember then back then when we actually did an on-chain transaction? I think the stuff is evolving so quickly. And Bitcoin is programmable money. There's so much innovation still possible, as you mentioned with, for example, non-custodial financial services, like, for example, Unchained or others that are doing that. They can be your financial service provider slash bank or whatever without actually being your custodian. They can be a fallback holder of keys without being able to spend your funds just like that. And I think here as well, we're so much at the beginning. With programmable money, we can do basically everything that we can imagine. And in a few years, I have no clue how it will look like, the whole space.
Yeah,
I think there are interesting things being worked on with covenants, etc. What I think is... having custodians isn't necessarily a bad thing. Like, I'm sure there's people who will never hold their own keys. What I think is important is that holding your own keys is always the default, that it always stays the default. That if people get Bitcoin, they should understand that they can choose to do non-custodial and choose to do custodial. So non-custodial usage of Bitcoin should always be the default.
I agree. One thing I like what you guys do at Relay is, you know, you're non-custodial by default, but you don't force the user upon setting up an account to immediately write down their seed phrase, which I know is a bit contested at times, but I see the appeal with that, especially for a new user, that you know, give them the option to do it when they're comfortable with it. So personally, I'm for that.
Yeah, there's nothing worse onboarding somebody in a noisy bar and they write their 24 words on a napkin. That's a disaster waiting to happen.
That's true.
Yeah, that's also something that, for example, Phoenix Wallet does really well, like the mobile Lightning wallet. You can download it and you can immediately use it without, like, if you want to pay somebody, you don't have to like write down your seed words immediately. And this is also why we do that with the Bitbox, because it has a micro SD card and it immediately saves a backup there. And while you set it up, you don't have to write down the 12, 24 words. You can still do that later once you have maybe a little bit more Bitcoin on there. And until then, you can rely on the micro rely on the micro SD backup.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think for that kind of purpose, it's good enough to then say at the beginning, you know, you send like regular reminders if the user has push notifications. Say, hey, by the way, did you back up your seed phrase? And then you have, you know, educational content that you maybe point the user towards to say, look, these are the fun ways that you can back up your your seed phrase. And maybe, you know, if you want something very cool cypherpunk, then you have these steel options and it withstands fire and earthquakes and what, like, you make it kind of cool, you know.
We actually call the Bitbox steel wallet is actually called apocalypse proof.
Yes. So
it can be it I'm not sure if it will be of much use after a zombie apocalypse, but it should survive it.
We had an earthquake here last night. It made me think of, you know, how good that option is to have that option. But yeah, but either way, even if, you know, most people or a chunk of people are still gonna not self-custody their Bitcoin in the long run, what I think this whole fallout, it is very painful. And I know many people who are directly affected by it, and I would never blame them for it. But the good thing that kind of comes out of it is that there's way more scrutiny on exchanges, and that now, not driven by regulation, but driven by the market, driven by market demand, customers asking on Twitter, exchanges are having to prove their reserves. And, you know, right now there's a whole conversation going on about that, about how you do it properly. And, you know, some exchanges are publishing things, but then others are saying, hey, that's not enough. And in that way, you know, you have a Kraken CEO talking, what was it? I think he was quoting CoinMarketCap. I don't remember. And he was also referring to Coinbase and Bitfinex and some others. I don't know. But either way, saying like, hey, this is not enough. You have to provide this and this and that. And in this way, you have competition driving each other to be better, because obviously they want to retain customers. And I like that in this way you have sort of, you get a good outcome for the users just via the market. And you didn't need anybody to regulate anything for that, which I'm not saying I don't want there to be regulation, or I do want there to be regulation. It's a very complex topic, but I think that is a good thing that's coming out of it.
I just wonder how long this will last. Like, of course, after such a big fallout of an exchange, people will put more exchanges under scrutiny. But until the next bull market with new people coming into the market, will this still be the same? And I hope it will be, but somehow I think it's going to be a lot of new people who haven't learned their lessons yet, and they're still going to go to offshore exchanges that maybe gamble with their money and don't do proof of reserves and liabilities. So I hope I'm wrong on this.
I mean, in the end, you can't protect everyone. You can just do your best. That's all you can do. And it's just normal. When something's news, when it's relevant, everybody talks about it, then everything kind of mellows down and it stops being too interesting. And unfortunately, I mean, the same thing happened with FTX. Like, something has to happen for there to be a ripple effect. Something bad has to happen. Unfortunately, like, in every regard, this is just how we are as humans, every single one of us, in one way or another. Something bad has to happen before we do something. Unfortunately, that'll probably never change. But, you know, there's going to be groups of people and more people taking things away from these experiences and then building better services, building non-custodial wallets like Relay. And that, you know, is the takeaway, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely right. So when maybe we need to come to an end, but before we all go out and go buy some Black Friday hardware wallets from Bitbox, because they're on discount now, I would like to know, like, to hear from all the speakers quickly an answer to our title here. So who's next in your opinion? Let's start with, I don't care, who wants to start? Giulielmo, maybe? Because you're the lawyer here in the round.
I have a few bets with some friends, but I believe that the next who will fall are the ones who have their own shitcoin, because that's the worst way, that's the easiest way to create fake money and the easiest way to go down. So I'll put my money on crypto.com.
Good one. Adam, what about you?
Yeah, I was waiting for the end of Guglielmo's time, and I was just going to name them crypto.com plus one.
Imo?
Yeah, I think crypto.com as well, just because they annoy me because I see their ads all over the World Cup. So I hope they go bust.
Lina, what's your take?
I don't know, and I don't care, and I actually don't hope anything happens to anyone, because that's just unnecessary pain cost, you know. And I actually think if you are worried / thinking something's going to happen, then you are overexposed. Then you need to put more money in self-custody. Sorry, that's not the answer you wanted. Like, but like,
that's a good answer.
I don't want any answer. This is good. I like it. Staticus?
I'm also not ready to call out any specific player. I'm sure there will be a next one. I have no idea who that's going to be. But for me, it's not only about the big crashes and the apocalypse. For me, it's also important to recognize that when you have your Bitcoin on an exchange, it's not really Bitcoin. And there can be very subtle things that will happen, like shotgun KYC or account freezes or all that stuff that doesn't even need to make a whole exchange go bust. So I don't hope people will get hurt, but I'm pretty confident that shit will hit the fan soonish enough.
Word. Yoko?
Ethereum.
Haha, I was thinking about that one as well. What's your reasoning?
Nah, it was more of a joke, probably. Because Ethereum is a scam.
They just recently changed on their website, like this whole merge and staking thing. You could stake and lock up. Like the lock up period, they just removed it. So there's no lockup. They said like it's going to be, what, 18 months or 24 months? I don't even know. Just some period you need to stake your ETH and then you will get them back. Like the new ETH 2.0, you'll get them back. And there was a date on the website. There's no date anymore on the website now. So it's actually...
No, there wasn't a date. There was a roadmap, I think, like something between 6 to 12 months or something. Then they extended it to like maybe in 2 years or so on. And I think now they removed it completely. But just today I saw somebody work on it. But yeah, I don't know. Just the whole idea of locking up your Ethereum for like 3 years. I don't know.
Yeah, poor
maybe
guys,
not the smartest move.
Poor guys who fell for this one. Baggins, what's your take?
He's not a speaker anymore. I had to remove him because I wanted to add more people.
Okay. He can tweet it out with the Twitter account.
Yeah, sure.
Is there any other speaker I missed?
Raphael.
I don't have a prediction. I just think that it's not over and we will see more players fall. I'm with Guillermo that everyone who has a coin and everyone who built on this coin to build the business is probably in danger and it's probably shitting the pants at the moment because it's also interconnected and you see it with crypto.com, you see it with FTX, that it's all, everyone invests in everyone and it's all kind of like a house of cards. And when a couple of parts fall apart, then the whole thing is starting to collapse. So I think that's what you're seeing right now and it's just continuing. Basically, yeah. I don't know if that's the answer you wanted, but yeah, that's it from my side. And I think that's it for the space, right? I mean, we have an hour now, so thanks everyone for joining in, I think it was a good talk, and let's do it again pretty soon.
Thank you, Relay.
Thank you
all.
Thanks, guys.
Bye bye.
Thank you, guys.
Have a good night.
Cheers.